to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for August 13, 2023, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Our Bible study group this week commented that there's a lot to talk about in our lessons today. Some great stories, Jesus and Peter walking on the water. We've got St. Paul's letter to the Romans full of great theology. And then, of course, the continuation of the story of Jacob. This is a long saga. We've been dipping into it all summer, from Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob. And each generation seems more dysfunctional than the last. Here we have Joseph, who is Jacob's favorite son. Now, I'm going to figure out, some in the congregation have probably been the favorite in the family, and some know who the favorite was, and it wasn't them, right? Some parents seem to manage not to have favorites. Jacob, no. He had a clear favorite. Joseph was his favorite. And his brothers hated him. And honestly, when I read the story, they had some pretty good reasons why. There were three strikes against Joseph. First of all, and we don't get this in the story, Joseph, who was kind of a, and I apologize to the teenager, he was kind of a, you guys are lovely teenagers, he was a bratty teenager, and he had a dream that his brothers were bowing down to him. Strike one. I'm sure the brothers loved that dream. Oh, thanks, Joseph. Tell us another one. We're bowing down to you. Strike two, Jacob gives Joseph the coat of many colors, right? The amazing Technicolor dream coat. They didn't get a coat. And Joseph lords it over them by wearing this coat all the time, just to rub his brothers' noses in the fact that he is special and they are not. Strike two. And finally, Joseph is a tattletale. I had never noticed that before, but in the lesson today, he was helping out his older brothers, and he ratted them out to their father. Strike three. So when Joseph comes to find his brothers, their first thought is, let's kill him, right? Now, I had a brother. There were moments I would have killed him. He would have killed me. I would have thrown him in a pit. Reuben is trying to be the diplomat and say, well, no, let's just throw him in the pit and then I'll come get him later. No, they sell him into slavery. Why kill him when we can make a buck off of him? So they sell him and Joseph is taken away. Everybody in this story comes off not looking that great. Joseph, who is really that wonderful moment in his life where he's all about himself. You can imagine how obnoxious and difficult Joseph was. And the brothers are murderous and, you know, full of resentment and jealousy. They are all, in their own way, immature, spiritually immature. They are not very far in the progress that God is trying to bring them to. Now, what happens later is interesting. All of them have to go through a process of maturity. For Joseph, it's a very difficult one. I don't want to spoil next week. Come back next week. The end of the story is fantastic. But in between, Joseph has to go through some hard stuff. First of all, he's in a pit waiting to be sold, either killed or sold into slavery. He's sold into slavery. He goes to Egypt, and they immediately see his potential. He's brought into the household of an official, an Egyptian official. Things are going great until he's accused of sexual misconduct by his owner's wife, and he's thrown in prison for years, from the pit to prison for years. He had some hardship, and through that hardship, Joseph had to make a choice. Was he going to be full of resentment and hate? Or was he going to mature and see his life in a different way? I think that is the choice that all of us have to make in our lives. There's a fascinating article that I read this week by David Brooks in the New York Times, and the title was great. It said, Grow Up America. I love that. Grow up America. And his argument is that we have become very spiritually immature as a society. We have bought into a kind of victim consciousness. Whether we're on the left or on the right, we're always victims. Things are happening to us. We feel disempowered. We can't make our way forward. And he said, this is a problem. He said, there was a book written called The Culture of Narcissism. And I thought immediately of Virginia Higgins, because in Bible study, this issue comes up. Oh, yes, that's right. There's nobody less narcissistic than Virginia. But Virginia, as a therapist, has talked a lot about how one of the key problems we have as human beings is narcissism, right? This idea that it's all about us. Narcissism is this concept that the whole world is a story and it's all about me. Doesn't matter what's happening, it's all about me. And this is the root of spiritual immaturity. We then have this kind of victim mentality because everything's happening to us. There's trauma. This article went on to say that there's over 5,500 podcasts, 5,500 podcasts that have the word trauma in them. Think of that. This is a culture where people are feeling that their identity is what has happened to them, what is their kind of victimhood. And that is horrible for our sense of agency and the ownership over our destiny and our progress forward. The antidote is to begin to move into maturity, to begin to see that we aren't the center of the universe, to have empathy for other people. So, fast forward to the gospel. I love the gospel because Jesus is working with his disciples 3 years of what we might consider leadership development, right? He takes them as this ragtag band, fishermen, tax collectors, misfits of one kind and another. He gathers them together, and then he trains them for 3 years. And today's story is Peter halfway through his program. He's learned a lot, but he's not quite there. He sees Jesus coming, and alone of all the disciples, they're all terrified. He has the leadership ability to say, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out to you. And he has the courage to step out of the boat. Imagine this. You're on a boat. It's a storm. The boat's going like this. He steps out of the boat, and he starts to walk on the water. He's getting it. He's almost there, right? But then think of the Roadrunner and Coyote cartoon. Do you remember those? Where the coyote's always chasing the Roadrunner. Roadrunner's able to run across from one mesa, one cliff to another. The coyote chases. He's halfway across the chasm, and then what does he do? He looks down. Oops. And then he's toast. Well, there's Peter. He's on the water doing great, and then the wind hits him in the face, and he looks down, and he's toast. He's sinking. He's drowning. Jesus grabs him and says to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He doesn't say it harshly. I think he says it with love, but he recognizes that Peter is making progress, but he's not all the way there yet. He has not yet become the apostle that he is destined to be, the man full of compassion, who's able to reconcile Jews and Gentiles in the new church, the apostle who's able to face his own martyrdom with courage and boldness. No, this is still Peter sinking in the water. And I love that because that is how I feel most of the time. I've jumped out of the boat, and now what? What am I going to do? Sink or swim? Am I going to make it or not? Our invitation, it seems to me, as I think about these scriptures, is to see ourselves as a work in progress. We are being formed by God's word, the scriptures. We're being formed by the sacraments, fed with Christ's own body and blood. We are being nurtured together in a community of faith. And the goal is that we become mature in Christ, that we have the boldness to move out of narcissism, out of immaturity, out of this idea that it's all about us, and into a future where we see ourselves as part of God's grand design. God's big picture, God's purpose for the redemption of the world, that we see in other people, flawed disciples like ourselves, not worthy of scorn or jealousy or hatred, but worthy of love and compassion, that through empathy we step forward into the life that God has for all of us. Through empathy, through faith, through hope, we begin to see ourselves in a different light. It's not all about us. It is us using our gifts to the best of our ability to serve God and God's world, and in that, to be transformed. We will see next week how that plays out in the life of Joseph, but we already know how it worked out in the life of the disciples. That terrified group on the boat became the apostles who courageously spread the good news of God's kingdom throughout the world. It's the reason we are here today. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. May we be emboldened to grow into maturity as disciples. May we have the courage to see ourselves as part of God's bigger picture, a plan for the redemption and love of the entire world. May we have the feet of the messengers of the gospel of peace and proclaim the good news that God loves us, God loves all, and God will do anything to redeem this world. Amen.